Well, you know, last week we started a new series. We spent the first 7 weeks talking about the four pillars of success. So it took more than 4 weeks, amen. And there's free CDs out there. We encourage you to pick those up. And we went into some cool things in that area. But we started a series last week. I was praying about this, and it's called Breaking Barriers. Breaking Barriers. Now, last week I just reviewed just a little bit that we talked about. First of all, what is a barrier? And I looked it right up in Webster's dictionary, and of course there's a couple of definitions because you have barrier reefs and things like that, but that's not what we're talking about. But here's the definitions that I want to talk about today, breaking barrier. Here's what a barrier is. Anything that restrains or obstructs progress, access, etc. Number two, a limit or boundary of any kind. Let me read that again. A barrier is anything that restrains or obstructs progress or access. Number two, it's a limit or boundary of any kind. Amen? Now, how many of you know that God wants us to break some barriers? Now, last week, you know, Brother Don did a great job. He came up and just shared for a couple of minutes about some modern-day barrier breakers. Amen? And he talked about Chuck Yeager and how he broke the sound barrier, you know. And if you weren't here, make sure you pick up one of those CDs from last week because we're not going to go back into that. And he talked about, lest I really mess it up, you know, he talked about being in the airline industry. He talked about what it means to break the sound barrier. Amen. But to see, there's a lot of barrier breakers, modern day barrier breakers. And I'm just going to name these and not go into detail here. But you'll know right away. How about Henry Ford? How about Thomas Edison? Over 1,000 inventions. George Washington Carver. These were all inventors. Alexander Graham Bell. Abraham Lincoln. Neil Armstrong. The Wright brothers. Aren't you glad for the Wright brothers? Aren't you glad it wasn't the wrong brothers? And you can look out here basically and see the runway, and that was a part of their dream over 100 years ago. Amen? How about Bill Gates? How about Steve Jobs with Apple Computer? Now, in the sports realm, how about Tiger Woods that broke some barriers? You know, I'm talking about golf barriers. Okay. How about Wayne Gretzky? How about Michael Jordan? How about Babe Ruth? And, you know, these are just a few people that came to my mind. You could list a whole bunch of things. But one thing that was common to all these people is, first of all, they broke some barriers. They broke some records. They went beyond the limits. And the second thing that was common to all these men was their ability to think and dream beyond their present circumstances. Do you know that? You know, I was listening to a guy, a preacher one time, and he was, and I didn't know this until I heard him say this, but he was talking about the Wright brothers, you know, Orville and Wilbur, I think it is, you know, and how that they had a dream to fly. Their father was a minister, and he's in the church saying this while they're out back constructing a so-called plane. And he's in there, those kids are just wasting their time. If God meant for man to fly, he would have made wings on us. Well, aren't you glad that his two sons didn't listen to him? So you can preach doubt and unbelief from the pulpit too, amen? But see, his sons were dreamers. Now, they called Joseph a dreamer too. But you know what? It came to pass. So it's really important that we understand that all these modern day barrier breakers that I just mentioned right here had the ability to dream and think. How many of you here have an imagination? Okay? Now, sometimes, you know, when I was growing up, people would say, that boy just has an imagination. Now, it's usually not a good thing when you say that. But see, your imagination, God gave you an imagination to use to work for you and not against you. He gave you the ability to dream and create. Why? Because you are made in God's class, in God's image. All the inventions, you see these chairs, the carpet, the walls, the ceiling, the lights. Not one of these inventions ever came from the animal kingdom. You say, man, that's a new revelation for me, you know. No giraffe, no lion, no tiger, no bear, ever, bird ever created anything. Why? Because they're not made in God's likeness and God's image. Now, if you get anything out of today, that's worth it right there. Amen. Now, every single invention that ever exists on this earth in the last thousands of years always came from a man or a woman who is made in the likeness and the image of God. Most of the inventions, and I don't have time to get into this today, but most of the modern day inventions came from America, from people that had light of the gospel on the inside of them. There was light there. Now, maybe next week we'll get into some of those people and we'll talk about the specifics. But God has made you and me in His likeness and His image, and He's given us the ability to dream and to think beyond our present circumstances. Aren't you glad for that? So the thing that was common to all these men that I just mentioned right there was they, number one, they broke barriers, limitations, and number two, they had the ability to dream and to think. Hallelujah. Henry Ford had a dream of every family owning a Model T Ford. Amen. And there was all the naysayers out there, all the people that said this can't be done. You know, I mean, horse and buggy was, you know, since the Garden of Eden, basically. You know what I'm saying? Here's just another thought. I won't charge you extra for this. But, you know, the Bible says in the book of Daniel, it says that in the latter days that knowledge would increase. One of the signs, not the only sign, but one of the major signs of the end times is that knowledge has been increased and man would go to and fro. Okay? And you stop and think about it. In the last hundred years, how many major inventions? I mean, I remember when there was no cell phone. You know what I'm saying? I remember, it was in my lifetime. I remember when there was no cell phones. There was no text messaging. There was no emails. There was no computers. When I was dating Lynn, we picked the phone up and we dialed the thing. If I didn't mess it up enough times, you know what I mean? Remember those phones? Remember that? Now, some of you might have those phones you pull off the wall when you put it, you know. But you stop and think about the things that we take for the younger generation here just takes for granted. It's only been that way for a couple of years. I mean, since the Garden of Eden up to about 100 years ago, how did people get around? Horseback, donkey, or just hoofing it. How did they light their homes? Candles for thousands of years. But what happened? There are some barrier breakers. Now, I believe with all of my heart that the reason that it came at such a time as this in the last 100 years, you know, towards us right now, is for the sake of the gospel getting out. Now, you stop and think about it. We have a website, you know, like most ministries do, you know. I get pretty excited about that because anybody in anywhere in the world, I get emails from people from Africa, you know, that listen to our messages, you know. And they're standing there in their little tribe behind them, you know what I mean. And you know, it's like, wow. This is pretty cool. Amen. I mean, that's better than the Jetsons. Are you with me now? But see, modern technology has made that possible so that, listen to me, the gospel can get out. That every creature will hear the good news of Jesus Christ. There's no bamboo curtain. There's no iron curtain that can hinder that now because everybody has access somehow to a computer or a satellite, something like that. All right? So these are modern day barrier breakers. Now listen, I'm not just saying this to give you a little history lesson here this morning, talk about these barrier breakers. God, let's put it back on you. Let's put a big mirror up here and look at yourself. Just envision that. God wants you to break some barriers in your life. Limitations. Things that have held you back. I want to ask you a question here. Can you be a barrier breaker? Yes. Can you be a barrier breaker? Okay. All right. Now, how do you become a barrier breaker? Well, come back next week and I'll tell you. Now, we're gonna get into the edge of it here today. And go over to Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. And we saw this scripture last week. We also looked at barrier breakers in the Bible. You know, we looked at some people there like Noah, Moses, Elijah, Elisha, David, Samson, the 12 disciples, Jesus, just to name a few that were barrier breakers that did things that no one else ever did. Thank you, Jesus. Say, I'm a barrier breaker. Amen. But in Daniel 11, verse 32, notice the latter part of that verse. It says, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. So how do you become a barrier breaker? You know God. Well, how do you know God? And I used this illustration last week. You know, everybody knows who the president is, regardless of your political persuasion. Everybody knows who the president is. But how many people know him personally? Everybody knows about God. They've heard something about God, Sunday school, whatever, you know, church they grew up in. But it's another thing to know him personally. How do you get to know God personally? Do you call him up and go to heaven? No. You call upon that last song that we did today, call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. Remember that? All you have to do is say, Jesus, I believe in you. You're the Son of God. You died for me. When you do that, you are introduced to Jesus and God becomes your heavenly Father. And the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploit. What is an exploit? An exploit, among other things, means something that's not been done before. Something big. Something powerful. Praise God. And those people that know their God, they'll be strong and they'll do exploits. Praise God. So how do you become, number one, how do you become a barrier breaker? Number one, know God. Or I would say it like this, the God factor. Amen? Mm-hmm. See, it's not so much what church you belong to, it's what family you're in. Amen. Now, don't get me wrong, it's important what church you go to, but you know, if you're being taught correctly, amen? But more importantly, it's what family you're in. See, there's only two families in the earth. Did you know that? According to the Bible, you know, we see skin color, nationality, so on and so forth. You know, but actually God sees there's only two families in the earth, the family of God and the family of the devil. And before you and I were born again, we were from the family of Satan. Say, what? I didn't bow down to the devil. See, we did it ignorantly. We didn't know. Because all of us had the sin nature because of Adam. And the Bible says that Jesus told the religious leaders of his day in 2 Corinthians 4:4, he said, that Satan is the god of this world. And he's blinded the minds of the unbelievers. Okay? See, people don't know that. I didn't know that I was serving Satan all those years. I didn't know that. I didn't know why I succumbed to certain things growing up, you know, and I remember that. I remember when I got saved. Now, I didn't know everything, but I'll tell you, God only sees two families in the earth, the family of God and the family of Satan. And thank God we've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and we've been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. Amen. 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 Is this good news this morning or what? Amen. So they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Now, we can get to know God by degrees. We get to know Him better. Just like in a marriage, you get to know your spouse. The more time you're with them, you should get to know them better. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Heard about the story one time, but true story about a couple that went to marriage counseling. Sat down, true story, not a joke. And the pastor said, okay, what's the deal? What's going on? Tell me what's going on. And the wife started crying. And, gave her a box of tissues. Finally worked through that. And he said, well, what's the problem? Oh, My husband never tells me that he loves me anymore, you know. And he looks over and he says, honey, I told you that the day we got married. Well, how many of you know she could use some reassurance? Some reassurance. Amen? See, they don't know what you're thinking. You might think by osmosis they pick up, oh, they really love me. Now, unless you open your mouth, they're not going to know. Unless you communicate, they're not going to know. The Lord's not going to show them. Amen? There's not a day that goes by, to my knowledge, that I remember, there's not one day that goes by that I don't communicate, and likewise the family as well. We don't tell each other. We tell each other several times a day, I love you. Our kids, we tell our kids that. They tell us that all the time, all the time. Probably millions of times now. Amen? But you know what? That will never stop. Amen? Hallelujah. And it's okay to be affectionate with your children. I don't care how old they are. I was teasing my kids. I go, you know, when you're a senior in high school, Dad's going to come up on campus right in front of everybody. He's going to hug you. He's going to kiss you right on campus. What? Just kidding. Amen? See, we shouldn't be afraid to show affection and love. I don't care how old they are. I don't care if they're 30 years old. Amen? I don't care if your little boy has gray hair and he's getting old. He's still your little boy. Tell him you love him. Amen? And when you express your love vocally to that man or that woman, that boy or that girl, you're reinforcing to them your love for them. Yeah, don't have the mindset, well, they know how I feel. No, communicate it. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so it is with our Heavenly Father that when we talk with Him and we communicate with Him, that we get to know Him better. I've never yet, not one time, have I had the Lord show me something that I wasn't asking Him for. There's always a time. See, God's, the Lord, the Holy Ghost is a perfect gentleman. He'll never force anything on you. Never. But if you ask Him, inquire of the Lord, He will show you and He will give you wisdom. I just had something come up this week. And I said, Lord, this situation, I don't like this. You know, there's something I was dealing with, you know, and I don't like this, you know. Lord, what do you have to say about this? Just like that. What do you have to say about this? Well, within a few seconds, here comes the wisdom right up in my heart. I didn't hear it with these ears. You hear it inside you. Amen? Because that's where the Holy Ghost, quit trying to hear God with these paddles on the side of your head. So I wish I could hear God. No, you don't want to hear Him that way. Unless you're deaf, dumb, and blind. You hear, when Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they're not going to follow. Now the prophets in the Old Testament would say something like this, the word of the Lord came unto me saying. Well, if everybody heard it, he wouldn't have to repeat it. So you have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to you. And He will comfort you. He will comfort those in Zion, the Bible says. He will comfort those that mourn. And if you're going through something and you're facing something and you're all distraught about something, ask the Lord. Lord, show me something. Give me wisdom. And He is obligated to do that through the person of the Holy Spirit. It's the most exciting life there is. When you hear from heaven, life ceases to become boring when you hear from heaven. Now, maybe you've never heard this before. Say, I never heard that in my church. Well, we're not in your church. We're in this church today. And see, we happen to be talking about breaking barriers, okay? And sometimes even in a sermon, there's some challenges out there to break some of the common barriers that we all are in, you know. People use the statement, you know, do something out of the box, out of the ordinary. And all of us can be dreamers and visionaries about things that God, see, God's placed some things in some of your hearts. God has placed some things there, but the problem is sometimes you've talked to other people about it and then they discourage it. Dream thieves, I like to call it. But just like, why did Joseph, I heard this just recently, we went to a help seminar, you know, and Crosby Harris, Bill Winston's right-hand man, the ministry of helps, the Lord showed him, I thought this was amazing. Amen? Remember that, Stanley? And he said this, he said, Lord, why did Joseph tell him his dream and he got in all that trouble? And the Lord spoke back to him. He said, because he's a man that's so full of vision and so full of dream, can't shut his mouth. Because when you got God's dream, and there is certainly his family members tried to stop that and squelch that and quench that and everything else. Amen? Now let's go over here to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 here in the time that we have here today. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. And what I want to, last week we talked about what is a barrier. Now today I want to talk about identifying your barriers. Identifying your barriers. But not only identify them, how you can overcome them. You You see, people, I wrote down here, people, circumstances, ourselves, small thinking can sometimes impose limitations. I'll say that again. People, circumstances, ourselves, small thinkers can try to impose limitations on us. People say, that's never been done. You can't do that. I know someone that tried that and it flopped. All right. But in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we may ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. How many of you here can think some big things? You said, yeah, that sounds great. I can think this. God says, I'm able to do above and beyond what you could even ask or think. Now, I was listening to a DVD from Brother Bill Winston in Chicago, Illinois. How many of you are familiar with Bill Winston Ministries? Powerful ministry. Oh, my goodness. You talk about a visionary. You talk about a dreamer. You talk about a barrier breaker. That dude bought a whole mall for the church. A mall. An entire mall. And I'm telling you, he had everybody in the city, in the county saying, you can't do this. It's not going to work. But God gave him a dream. God gave him a vision. He said he knew of a man personally that was, I think he was in the oil industry, if I remember, sir, to be correct. And this guy had gone over to the Far East, and he was working with some of these Far Eastern sheiks. You know what I'm talking about? And I looked up the word sheik, and it means a leader or a governor and someone of high profile, someone that's very wealthy, a sheik, okay? And so this fellow had did some work for this Far Eastern sheik who was not a believer, by the way. But this guy was a Christian. And because the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob happened to live on the inside of him, God gave him some wisdom of some breakthrough that would help the oil industry and the things that they were involved with, you know. And as a result, the sheik, the leader, came to him and said, I want to give you something. What would you like? And he thought about it, says, well, you know, a golf club. Okay? So, you know, he's thinking, I need a new driver for my golf set, you know? Well, some time went by and he got a phone call from his secretary, the sheik's secretary, and said, your golf club is waiting for you. He said, what do you mean? Well, they come over and pick him up, took him out to a golf club. You know, 9-hole, 18-hole golf club. See, he was thinking driver, number one driver, golf club. The sheik was thinking golf club. How many of you know there's a difference? This is a true story. God's able to do abundantly above all that we could ask or think. He was thinking golf club. Amen? I heard another story about a preacher one time. And Mark Hankins tells this story. It's pretty funny. He said one day when he was just a little kid, you know, he was with his grandfather and he was cutting through a cemetery. And in this particular cemetery, there's a lot of vets that were there that were buried there. And there's flags everywhere, you know, in the cemetery. And they're cutting through the cemetery. And little Mark, you know, when he was just young, he told his grandfather, he said, boy, there's lots of vets in this place. He goes, that's right, son, lots of vets in this place, you know. Now, his definition of a vet was a veterinarian. So he's thinking, boy, what a dangerous profession. There's hundreds of grays here, vets. Now, his grandfather was on the right page. He's thinking, you know, military, you know what I'm saying, war, that kind of thing. This little young Mark, in his understanding, was thinking dog doctor, horse doctor. I don't know if I want to get into that profession. Amen? Isn't that right, Morgan? Praise God. So it's a matter of definition. Well, this guy that went to this sheik said, I just want a golf club. You know, he's thinking golf club, one golf swing, you know, stick. This guy's thinking bigger. He's thinking a whole golf club. Well, he got it. Amen? God is able to do abundantly above all that we may ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. I'm going to step out on the limb right now and just say this, that, you know, God has a dream for every one of you. Do you know that? He has a dream for every single one of you. And that dream involves greatness. Every one of you that are in this room. And I think it's important, you know, that for parents, especially when you raise your children, you know, not a lot of you have, your kids are raised and everything already, but, you know, there's a lot of people that say things like this, like trying to be positive, said, honey, you can do whatever you want. You know, if you want to be a fireman, you can be a fireman. You want to be an astronaut, you can be an astronaut. You know, kids are, you know, you can do whatever you want to do. But, you know, actually that's wrong. God will only anoint people to do what He's called them to do. See, God hasn't anointed me to be the CEO of a major corporation, like in the world. You know what I'm saying? But some people are. That's not where my gifting is. That's not where my calling is. Okay? So for me, when the scripture talks about that, that we're to think soberly as every man has been dealt by God, the measure of faith and grace and so forth, you know, in Romans. Well, that measure of faith and grace is paramount to what you're called to do. Okay? Every one of you, God has a dream for you. And with that dream comes your giftings and your callings and your abilities. And you were given those at birth. Now, some people will live and die and they never use those God-given gifts. Amen? Now, there's some people that live, there's secular people on this earth that aren't even saved. That can sing and do music. I mean, tremendous. And God gave them that gift. It's just that they're using it for the wrong purpose. It's perverted, in other words. See, whatever God's gifted us with, whatever He's anointed us with, we are to use for the glory of God. Now, today I want to conclude with this. I want to talk about a scripture. Go over to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 17. This scripture, most of this chapter was just ringing in my spirit today, the last couple of days actually, and I knew that I was going to maybe get into the edge of it here today. And here you have someone by the name of David in the Bible that broke some barriers, broke some heads too. Amen. Because of time this morning, we're not going to read the whole chapter here. I'm just going to kind of highlight it and I want to share some things with you. First of all, to kind of set the picture here so that you can understand what's going on here. Here you got a picture. Here you got on this, between this mountain range, you have on the one side, you have all of Israel, a couple of million Jews, all of Israel over here, covenant people. And on the other side of the mountain, you have the host of the Philistines. Among those are giants. Goliath was over 9 foot tall. Okay? And for 40 days, Goliath would come out once a day and he would taunt and ridicule and curse Israel by his gods. And we'll see here in just a second that every time Goliath would come out for 40 days, okay, and he would say something, nobody responded back to him. Not anybody. Now Goliath is a type of the devil. He'll come out and say, you're not getting your healing today. Who do you think you are? You're not going to live in victory. You're going to live in defeat. For 40 days, this Goliath would come out here and he would just say things like this, you know. And the Bible says that when he spoke, all Israel trembled. Now, have you ever been so afraid before that you actually tremble? Huh? In other words, their knees were having fellowship with one another. Are you with me now? So what happened here? Goliath is a type of the devil. He gets up there, you know, and he's like, he just goes out there and says some things. And because of his words, he released fear through his words. And it went across all of Israel. And not one Israelite stood up and said, Who is this guy? Until David came along. Now, these are all covenant people. They all have a covenant with God. The Israelites, I mean, not the Philistines, but the Israelites. They had a covenant with God. God was on their side. God before them, who could be against them? But none of them were walking, not one of them. Think about that. Over 2 million Jews. Not one of them was walking in their covenant. That's a picture of the church today in some respects, you know. Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law.
Yeah, yeah.
So we need to boldly decree, I am redeemed.
From the curse.
Amen.
Lord,
the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Lord, that he hath redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. So the enemy boasts big things and he gets out there and screams and shouts, you know, and fear comes as a result. How many of you know when the devil speaks, fear is always a byproduct? You say, well, how do I know when the devil's talking to me? Fear. Say fear.
Fear.
Now listen, I didn't say fright, because most of us think of fear as like, oh, you know, like some scary movie or something like that, you know? Elm Street or something like that. That's fright. I'm talking about fear. Fear is still demonic. Fear like, oh, I wonder what's going to happen next year. I wonder if I'm going to be okay physically next year. Man, it seems like everybody's dropping like flies around me. You're not saying that, but you're hearing this in your mind. You know, a close friend goes home to be with the Lord or something like that or whatever, and you're thinking, am I next? And see, folks, we need to confront this kind of stuff. We don't want to just sit back and just let the devil talk into our head. We have to confront fear. The believer has no place, should have no place of fear in your life. Fear is always demonic. Okay? Now the Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear. Now some of you look like you just lost your best friend when I said that. Like, I don't know if this is possible. I've been so used to being afraid for so long. Listen, God has not given you the spirit of fear. So if God didn't give it to you, where did it come from? The devil. That's right. So you might feel fear. Sometimes I feel fear. Sometimes you feel fear. But what do we do when it comes? We have to do something with it. I'm going to show you something here. So for 40 days and 40 nights, this guy, Goliath, would come out and just boast about what he was going to do. And they would all be terrified. Now let's look at verse 10. Now this is the New Living Translation here. You got that, Josh? Okay. In verse 10. Here's what Goliath said in verse 10. I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me. When Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. Now, King Saul at this time put out a reward for whoever would kill Goliath. And here's what the reward was. I'll give you my daughter in marriage. And then you'll be exempt from paying taxes. So when David came along, he said, well, get a pretty girl. Don't have to pay taxes anymore. It sounds like a good deal to him. That was the reward. Now, look at verse 32. Let's go down to verse 32. Let's kind of read through this here as we conclude here today. Praise God. Some of you are going to slay some giants in your life after you hear this. Amen. So that subtle fear that's been tagging you along for years, man, just messing with you. You know, you're going to stand up and say, who are you, you uncircumcised Philistine? Maybe not quite like that, but you're going to say, "You." Amen. I used to tell my kids when they were growing up, I said, now, when you guys start dating, I don't want you bringing any Philistines home. What's a Philistine? Someone that doesn't have a covenant with God. Okay? Notice in verse 32 it says, here's when David came. He was on the backside of the desert. He had, seven brothers, something like that. And his father instructed him. He says, I want you to take some bread and cheese to your brothers while they're on. They're not even doing anything. They're just standing there. He says, take them some food. And, of course, David, the youngest, you know, he left his sheep and he brought cheese and bread. You know, it sounds like pizza to me. And he brought it to the front lines. And while he is bringing the food on this cart to the Israelites, you know, he happened to be earshot of Goliath doing his thing. You know? You know, and David stood up. And he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Now, verse 32. In the New Living, it says this, don't worry about this Philistine, David told Saul. I'll go fight him. Don't be ridiculous, Saul replied. There is no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy. And by the way, he was 17 years old. So don't tell me teenagers can't do some stuff. How about for the young kids? Amen? 20-somethings. How about that? You can do some stuff, man. Oh, God, give us a church full of young people. Amen. He said, you're only a boy. And he's been a man of war since his youth. So experience here. Verse 34. But David persisted. I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats. And he said, when a lion or a bear comes to steal the lamb from the flock, verse 35, I go after it with a club and rescue it, the lamb from its mouth. And if an animal turns on me, I catch it with the jaw and club it to death. He said, I like that. Just club it to death. I have done this to both lions and bears. He said, I've done this. I don't know about you, but man, I'm telling you what. A lion and a bear. We're not talking about a parakeet here, a monkey. We're talking about some ferocious creatures. I mean, a lion just has to look at you the wrong way, and you're like, I'm out of here. Hallelujah. All right, now notice it says right here, I have done this both to lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too, for he has defiled the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claw of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. Saul finally consented and said, all right, go ahead. And he said, may the Lord go with you. Sounds religious. All right, go ahead. And I'm sure he was thinking, that's the last time we'll talk to David. All right, go ahead. You know, but Saul, notice that King Saul gave David his own armor and a bronze helmet and a coat of mail. And David put it on, strapped a sword over it, and took a step or two to see what it felt like. And for he had never worn such things before. And so David said, I can't go with these, he protested to Saul. I've not used or proved these. So David took them off. Now, as you go back to, we'll stop here for a second, but as you go back to the first part of Samuel, you'll find out there's a description of what Goliath had on. And I mean, this guy was decked out. I mean, as far as, I'm talking about armor. Even the head of the spear was 40 pounds, you know. The javelin. I mean, this guy was huge, and he had a coat of iron mail all the way down his clothes, you know. And Saul was just trying to do him a favor. You know, it didn't fit. Praise God. There we go. Yeah. And thanks, Josh. And so he was just clothed, but David hadn't proved this yet. He says, I feel uncomfortable with this. Mm-hmm. Amen. See, sometimes people will try to get the credit for it. You know what I'm saying? They'll say, well, if you use this, then you get victory, then I get part of the credit. But David said, no, I got to do what I'm comfortable with doing, I got to do it my way. David didn't have any armor on. There was no helmet on him, no brass on him. All he had was a little slingshot. But you know what? That's what he was used to. That's what he was familiar with. That's where he proved the anointing in his own armor. That's why the Bible says we're to put on the armor of God. God's clothes. Okay, let's move on to verse 40. He says, he picked up 5 smooth stones from the stream, David did, and put them in the shepherd's bag. Then, armed with a shepherd's staff and sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine. Goliath walked out towards David with his shield bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt at this ruddy-faced boy. In other words, Just a young kid. Verse 43. Am I a dog, he roared at David, that you should come at me with a stick? And he cursed David by his names of his gods. Come over here and I'll give your flesh to the birds with wild animals, Goliath yelled. So the devil's, Goliath, devil, is speaking here. He's saying some things. Now notice verse 45. David replied back to the Philistine. Here's a little revelation. Never run at your enemy with your mouth closed. Stop and think about that. Goliath said something. David said something. Now before this, Goliath would speak. Nobody would say anything. In other words, who had the last word? Okay. David, verse 45, David replied to the Philistine, you come at me with a sword, a spear, a javelin, but I come at you in the name of the Lord of the heaven's armies. Hallelujah. The God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. Today, here he's decreeing and declaring in verse 46, today the Lord will conquer you and will kill you and cut off your head. And then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. So what's he doing? He's boasting about God. He's not. Here's what we have to realize, folks, that David was not boasting in himself. There's a big difference. And you and I, we're not boasting in ourselves like we're some hot stuff, man, we can do this. Now, the Bible says we can do all things through Christ. It doesn't say we can do all things. It says we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. So we have to understand this. There's nothing that we can do apart from Christ. That's what Jesus said. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, it's a safe place to be. Because right when we start to be strong in ourselves, that's when we experience frustration and failure. Are you with me? What verse was I on here? Verse 47. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give it to us. Now, David hasn't done anything yet. He's just talking. Now, how many of you know faith has a voice? You have to decree some things, declare some things. And his other brothers were making fun of him. They did. They said, who in the world does he think he is? His own family members say, that naughty little kid, he's just trying to get off the, you know, the backside of the desert. Watch, he's tired of watching sheep. That's what they thought. Verse 50, and David, oh, I'm sorry, verse 49, it says, 48, and Goliath moved closer to attack, but notice, David quickly ran out to meet him. Notice that David ran towards his enemy. He didn't run from him. He ran towards him. You know, did you ever notice in the army of God in Ephesians chapter 6 that there's no back parts? It doesn't say put on the back plate of righteousness. There's no armor for the backside. Why? Because you're never to run from the devil. That's a revelation, isn't it? It's all offensive towards him, facing him. David, probably, if he would have hesitated, he would have tiptoed towards the devil. You know what I mean? Right? Kind of like when I was a kid and I didn't like the cold water. You put a little toe and then you back out. My friends used to say, just jump in and get it over with. And sometimes we got to do that. We got to do, instead of just being little tiptoe, mamsy, pamsy, Casper milk toast towards the devil, we got to stand up and say, no, I'm coming at you in the name of Jesus. It's not in yourself. It's through the power of Jesus Christ. He's given you authority. The God has given you power and authority over demons and devils. Did you know that? You. Little old me. Yeah. After all, it's not little old you. It's big Jesus, big God lives on the inside of you if you're a Christian. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I've seen some things leave and tremble and quake in their boots when I decided I'm going to stand up and say, no, we're not going to tolerate this in my house. We don't tolerate sickness and disease in our house. Amen. Sometimes we've been kind of lax and you kind of lay back a little bit. Sometimes symptoms will start coming, you know. And you see, you're not exempt from symptoms. They'll try to come. But what happens when it does come? We've got to stand up and say, sometimes people think they've grown beyond this where they do this anymore. Are you kidding me? And roll over and play, okay, devil, just roll over me like a roller, you know, rolling machine, you know, like on a pavement. No, you got to stand up and say, no, this isn't coming to my house in Jesus' name. You know, not too long ago, I was, all of a sudden, I had some flu symptoms come on me. You know, the throat situation, the headaches. I mean, just I felt it coming on me. I could feel it physically. And do you ever notice that when that happens, the devil will lie to you and say, you're not going to get your healing this time. Amen. He always comes with a lie. He says, you're not going to get it this time. You're not strong enough in the faith. You haven't read your Bible enough. You haven't prayed long enough. All this condemnation. And he'll always tell you, you're not going to get it this time, even though you've been healed before. He'll tell you, you're not going to get it this time. But you stand up and say, oh, no, it is not coming to my house. And you know, it made me mad. But there is a righteous indignation. There is a righteous cause sometimes for anger. I'm not talking you getting angry at folks, but I'm talking at the devil. Are you with me now?
Yeah.
And you got to stand up sometimes. You got to say, no, within myself. I heard myself saying this, no. No, 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 I, no. I'm not tolerating this. And as soon as I said that, the symptoms left.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God.
Praise God.
Your pastor can't resist the devil for you. Your husband, your wife cannot resist the devil for you. You have to resist the devil for you. Ephesians 4 says, resist the devil and he'll what? Flee from you. That means to run as if in terror.
Yeah.
Well, how do you resist the devil? With the word of God.
Yes.
It is written. Jesus quoted scripture when he was attacked by the devil and said, it is written three different times, three different scriptures. You and I have the God-given ability to speak scriptures, to say what the word of God says, and the same demons and devils that attacked Jesus will leave you when you resist them in the faith, which is the Word of God.
Amen.
And it almost surprised me that day because, I mean, all those symptoms were coming on me and he was trying to give me a false picture of being laid up for a week. Ask Lynn to preach for me. Because all the physical symptoms were there. I'm telling you, the tightness, the headaches, all those lying symptoms, you know. But something rose up on the inside of me and said, no, 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 I'm not putting up with this in Jesus' name. Now, I didn't intend on even sharing this today, but some of us need to hear this today. It's not that you don't know this, but sometimes we have to be reminded of this and stir up our hearts by way of remembrance, as the Bible says, and begin to speak the Word of God. When you speak the word of God, that's when things begin to take place.
Yes. Yeah.
So Goliath spoke, David spoke. Praise God. Verse 50. Verse 49. Reaching down into the shepherd's bag, taking out a stone, he hurled it with a sling and hit the Philistine in the forehead. That was the only exposed part on him. And they tell us that the Philistine was laughing hysterically because there's this little tiny little kid like a midget coming after him in comparison, you know. And he threw back his helmet. Ha, ha, ha. And the only exposed part was his forehead. And David said, that's all I need. Wham. And don't you know that God got behind that rock? Cup right in the middle of the head. And this big giant goes, poof. It's probably a dust cloud for 3 miles. Amen. Now look at what happened. Verse 50. So David triumphed over the Philistine with only a sling and a stone, for he had no sword. And David ran over and pulled Goliath's sword out of his sheath. That's a big sword. David used it to kill him and cut off his head.
Yeah.
When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they turned and they ran. Now they're afraid. Now notice this. Then the men of Israel and Judah gave a great shout of triumph and rushed. This is all Israel now. They rushed after the Philistines, chasing them as far as Gath. We'll stop right there. Now, here's what I saw here when I was reading this and meditating upon this. Someone had to be a barrier breaker. But when he decided to be a barrier breaker, it was easier for the people in Israel to jump on that bandwagon and said, well, if he can do it, we can do it. So they, you know, in unison, they jumped up and they chased the Philistines out and they discomfited them, whatever that means. It's like, ooh, I don't feel, that doesn't feel too good, you know. Ouch. And oh, what happened? There was a surge of energy that came as a result of David's courage. Any one of them could have did it. But David said that day, you know, I broke some barriers with lions. I broke some barriers with bears. Now I'm going to break a barrier today with this Philistine. See, the issue wasn't how big the Philistine was. The issue wasn't how big the bear is. The issue wasn't how big the problem was. The issue was, how big is your God? Had nothing to do with, you know, I've seen, bless their hearts, people that make pictures, Sunday school pictures of Samson. Like, you know, he's like the Incredible Hulk standing there, whoop, big biceps, you know. Listen, Samson looked like anybody else. Just had long hair. Probably some tattoos and everything else, you know. Amen. Just Samson's just normal, you know. But when the power of God would come on him, he would become super strong. Amen. It wasn't that his muscles and biceps and triceps and whatever else. Amen. Are you with me? It's the anointing. It's the power of God. Well, when David said, you know, we're going after some head today, he did, man. He stood up. Now, you know who had the last word? David did. Goliath got up there, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. And David didn't sit back in silence. He stood up and said, okay, here's what I'm going to do today. I'm coming at you with a, not with a sword and spear, but with the name of the Lord of hosts, and I'm going to cut your head off. Notice he said everything before he did it. Yeah. See, your faith will talk like it's already been done. Amen. That's why you got to talk like you're debt-free, even though you're not. You got to talk like you're healed, even if you got symptoms in your body. Because your voice will take you to that place that you desire to be. According to your faith, be it unto you. Amen? So David was a barrier breaker. Now I think about my spiritual father, brother Kenneth Copeland. You know, that man's a barrier breaker. You know, and I love to sit under his ministry because it's like, where are we going next? And see, back in the day, he was one of the first preachers to ever own a jet plane. One of the first preachers to ever own a jet plane. Why? So you could drive around and say, look at me. No, to preach the gospel. And you know what happened? As a result of that, some people criticize him and persecute him. Bless their, they don't know the man's vision, what God's told him to do. Spiritual idiots. They don't know. They just get on that bandwagon and criticize. But let me tell you something. When he broke the barrier of a preacher owning a jet plane, now when we go down to Texas for the ministers' conference, there's a tarmac, their own airport there, that's full of jet planes from other ministries. Why? Because he broke some barriers. He took the punches, the persecution from other people and other preachers, news media. But you know what? They said, people said, if he can do it, then I can do it. If he can preach the gospel with a jet plane and don't have to get permission to go to this country in the morning, he can get up and take off and go. If God says, go to China in the morning, you don't have to go through American Airlines. Are you with me now? Why? He became a barrier breaker. And when you hang out with barrier breakers, then you start to break some barriers. That's why if you just only hang out with lowlifes, and I'm not criticizing people, but if that's the only people that you're ever hanging out with, now, Jesus went down and reached people out of the gutter to help them, but he didn't become like them. There's a big difference. But if you hang out with, if all you hang out with people that are just, you know what I'm trying to say? Yeah. You can't do that. Negative, negative, negative all the time. Speaking bad stuff all the time. Oh, that, you know. Yeah. That doggone president, and talking about everything. Everything's just negative. What happens is you become like that. Amen. I don't know about you, but I've got some friends that are dreamers. I've got some minister friends that live out of state that are big dreamers. And some of their dreams have become reality. And so whatever it costs for me to get in their presence, I don't care if I have to get on a plane and jump and go somewhere, whatever. And you, by the way, you do not have to know a person to get from something from their anointing. I never knew Brother Kenneth Hagin personally. It wasn't necessary. If God wanted it, that's fine. But you know what? We have part of His anointing. Amen. Now, we've met Kenneth Copeland. We don't really know him. You know, we know he knows who we are and so forth, but to see us. But I don't need to know him personally to glean from his anointing. If I'm sitting under his teaching, that's all I need. Because that's where the anointing is. Are you with me? See, when you hang out with barrier breakers and visionaries, then you become like that. What if God put in your heart to start a business? That's just case in point. What, some kind of a business. Maybe it's unique. Maybe it's never. Maybe you don't know anybody that even has a business like that. Maybe they do. Maybe they don't. And you're thinking, well, what if that's just me? Well, if it stays with you day and night, day and night, day and night, usually that's God. So usually you can tell if it's not God because it's fleeting. It'll come and go. Yeah. There are times I thought for sure God was talking to me. I did. But the week went by and I wasn't thinking about it anymore. 2 weeks went by. I wasn't thinking about it anymore. So I just put that thing on a shelf. Amen. Mm-hmm. Was it a good idea or a God idea? Amen. See, I believe I had a God idea about the military and Robert Morris College. Amen. Why? To be an extension of love and goodness, of the grace of God, wherever they need us. Wherever they need us. To be a servant. To serve them. To love them. I'm not trying to build our ministry. I'm trying to build people. Mm-hmm. See, it's not about, man, we're pressing for 200 people by next year. Pressing for 200 people. No, let's press to help more people. Amen. It's a matter of helping people. That's what it's always about. Ministry is always about people. I'll never forget that. It's not about like someone can look at you and say, oh, look at that church. Look at how big. Look at what they have. All that stuff they have. It's not. That's pride. It's about how many people can we help that are in situations. That's why you're here today. We're here to help you. Lynn and I, we're here, our family, we're here to serve you any way that we can. To be a blessing to you. To pray for you. To hold you up during the week in our prayers. When we don't physically see you, but God sees you, and to pray for you, and to serve you, and to love you. Our greatest desire, Lynn and I, is to see every one of you in this church right now, whether this is your first time or not, is to see you rise up to your full potential in what God has called you to do. Wow. It thrills our hearts when we see anybody in this fellowship get victory in any area of your lives.
Yeah.
I mean, oh.
Yes.
And I like roller coasters. That's better than riding a roller coaster. You know, I like these roller coasters that go 120 miles an hour. I do. I like them. I enjoy that. It's fun. But it only lasts a couple seconds. You wait in line for an hour for a ride that lasts 30 seconds. Something insane about that. You know what I mean? Like, woo, just for 30 seconds or less. You know what I mean? But there's something that's enduring. There's something that's lasting. And that is when we see you get victory in your relationships or your job or your finances or your physical body. When we hear reports coming back from you all about the Word of God working in your life, that just thrills us. Sometimes it's hard to sleep at night when we talk about what is God doing in someone's life. It just thrills my heart. Praise God. I know we went all over the place here this morning. But that's all right. I believe we went where God wanted us to go. Amen. What are, as we close right now, what are the barriers in your life? There may be one, there may be two. Is it fear? Has there been a fear there that, you know, that you're afraid of, maybe been disappointed, you know, and things have happened and circumstances happened and it led you to disappointment? I'll tell you one thing, the devil loves to use disappointment. Something you were, oh, I'm looking forward to this. This sounds really good. And then it didn't turn out anything like you thought it would. You know, it might be a broken relationship. It might be someone that let you down or whatever, you know. But let me tell you something. God's bigger than all that. Look at Joseph in the Bible. His brethren, all of his brothers betrayed him, sold him into slavery, cursed him, basically. Joseph kept his heart right. Even though he was mistreated and You know, even Potiphar's wife lied about him and got thrown in prison. Now, you know the story. Just an amazing story about Joseph. But he just kept the dream. And he, within himself, he said, Lord, I know you gave me this dream, and somehow this is going to come to pass. And even though he was in prison, he became the head of the prison. The Bible says God was with Joseph, and God is with you. So no matter what circumstances might come your way in life's bitter circumstances, God can take you out of the prison and take you and put you in the palace. If you keep your heart right and you stay in love and you stay in faith, God can take you places you've never been before. Amen? You know, there's been times in my life through the years, the last 30 years, where everything in me at times, because of what was going on, wanted to quit. I'm talking about ministry. Just go get a secular job. Just go out and just forget the church. Can we just be honest with you? Not that we wouldn't be dishonest, but everything in you, the circumstances, and Mom has seen us walk through this many, many times, the hurt sometimes and things that come at us sometimes. And, you know, you got to be tough-skinned when you're in the ministry sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Tender-hearted but tough-skinned sometimes. And sometimes you're misunderstood. Sometimes you're not understood correctly, whatever, you know. But, you know, you just have to realize, wait a minute, who called me to do this? And I'm so glad that even in those pressured times, and our kids even saw us through the years when they were younger, they saw some of the tears that we shed. They saw some of the hardship that we went through at times. Felt like your guts are pouring out sometimes. You know what I'm saying? And I can tell you, person after person after person that I knew personally, some that I even graduated with, that went through similar experiences, and they said, I can't handle this, I'm walking away from this, and walked away. Some of them walked away from marriages. Some of them walked away from ministry or both. And now they're not even on the spiritual radar because Satan put pressure on them. But how many of you know you can outlast Satan's pressure? It's only for a season. Amen? No matter how much pressure you're having in your relationship, the love of God can work that thing out. Through humility and the love of God, my goodness, anything is possible.